Oh, man. All right. Well, I think we are ready to rumble. So let's do this thing. On this episode of the Star Wars Report podcast, we're joined by a very special guest. It's Brian Brushwood of Night Attack and television and podcasting and everything. He's from everything. And it's a big week of news. It's posters. It's an international trailer. It's so much more. And it starts right now on the Star Wars Report podcast. Let's do it.
Falcon flight with destiny.
How's it going, Mark?
It's going well. It's getting better every day. My house is a little more put together. I no longer have ditches around 3 out of 4 walls.
All right. Well, it's
progress.
Slowly. You get there slowly.
I even have a balcony. I've got a back deck I have to paint, but hey.
Oh,
small
man.
Steps.
What's funny is it gets more and more every week. It's transforming from Yoda's hut on Dagobah to the most beautiful palace on Alderaan. That's not going to work. Let's get straight into
it. Only if it's on repulsors.
Exactly. Let's get straight into it. Let's bring in a very special guest this week. He is from Night Attack. He is from Hacking the System and so much more. It's Brian Brushwood, everybody.
Oh my God. I'm so glad to be back. Finally.
Welcome back.
By the way, for the record, have you already told the story? Have you told about how our paths are intertwining and you have made magic appear in my very life coming up for my personal experience getting to watch the new movie?
In fact, I have not. I have alluded to, and I've mentioned on air, you know, that we are doing a grand road trip out to Austin with a bunch of friends, but I have not mentioned the Brian Brushwood aspect of this adventure.
Well, I guess this latest chapter, I don't know how many longtime listeners there are, but it's like there was a time that you were convinced that all Brian Brushwood was Rage Against the Prequels embodied in a human being.
Yeah, I know.
It wasn't until you had me on the show that I got to, you know, that we bonded over the old school expanded universe, the, you know, all of the weird tendrils. We talked about the radio drama and stuff. And for you to reach out to me and say, by the way, gonna be in Austin, Texas, how would you like to go see the new Star Wars movie with me? The answer is yes, of course. And then this was all before the giant server crashing apocalypse that was the pre-sales event, though.
I know. What's funny is that to pull back the curtain on our end, we were doing it with Steve Glosson of Geek Out Loud. He's going to be there with us there in Austin that night, Brian. But we were on air with him doing a very special live kind of celebration as the tickets were going up. And the trailer was going to be released that night. So we were just kind of live podcasting, having a good old time. And then, like, right as we started, 2 hours early, all the ticket sites start going up.
Yeah.
And then they immediately all go down.
Yeah.
It's sort of like a giant contest of, like, who's going to jump across that starting line first? Because they're
sure.
Not supposed to release the tickets until football and the trailer release, but everybody went early.
Well, and the answer is everybody crosses the line first, which is why the line gets decimated.
It's so true. It's so true. But we were on air, and people's emotional capability was just falling apart. They were just it was just very stressful. We were trying to be. It's funny if you listen back with us, Steve, Teresa. it's sort of like we're in podcaster mode. We're entertaining. And at some point, we just forget that there's any kind of live audience. And we're just like, where's the tickets?
All of a sudden, it became way too real. And you're like, no, shut up. Shut up. Where's the tickets?
Unfortunately, Teresa, who's Austin native, she'll also be there. I'm realizing this first segment slowly turning me to introducing to you, Brian, all of my friends who are going to be there. But her mom, Teresa's mom, was the one who drove to the Alamo Draft House.
Oh, my God.
Now you got to tell it the way it was.
While she was
mom's like, quick, to the Batmobile.
This is so much better because I didn't even think, like, I just figured you had some kind of like super insider Star Wars sauce. And you're like, hey, bro, you want to come, you know, how many tickets do you want?
No.
I was like, I don't know. How many do you got? And it's like, don't worry, I gotcha. And so when
everybody you need
out, I'm watching Justin Robert Young freak out on the phone talking to Andrew, you know, because he's going to fly down to L.A. to watch it with Andrew. And they're arguing about which showing, which theater and so on. I'm like, huh, good thing I don't have to worry about it. I'm all set up thanks to the Star Wars report. Yeah. And then, meanwhile, knowing that behind the scenes, we're calling in mothers. We're pulling the mother card.
Oh, no. It was pretty – I would love to say that, like, yeah, the I have personal connections with the Draft House. We're setting up – but no. Mm-mm. We're normies. When it comes to that, we're all normies.
There's something more pure about that. I think that makes me happier.
I know. I'm super excited, man. It's going to be an adventure, and it is merely 5 weeks and some change away. It's hard to believe.
Hey, have you gotten down? You know we're close when we start counting days. Do either of you know right now?
39.
What?
you dared to ask, and there is an answer.
Dude, that's awesome. I got to tell you, I was talking to Justin about this. And again, I mean this with all love and respect. The bar is fairly low for this. All it has to do is be better than any of the prequels, and we're all going to freak out like it's the second coming of Christ, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what's so funny is that because, yes, and you have to be intellectually honest, because while I could certainly be here of the generation that grew up, you know, because where the Pepsi cans of Jar Jar Binks were everywhere, and we thought that was the coolest thing ever. And then it's sort of like, it's like any generation where you grow up and you realize the cartoons you watched when you were young weren't as good as you thought they were.
Sure.
Right? So even if you have a weird kind of nostalgia for it, I have to sit here and admit to myself and really, I think, to anyone who normally would listen to a show like this, is that there's a very wide swath of popular culture that Star Wars hasn't been top of mind in years.
Yeah.
In many years.
Or if it has been top of mind, it has been, you know, to a generation like the, there was a brief moment in the early 1990s that you could unironically say, huh, remember Star Wars? And then somebody be like, whoa, yeah, man, that was pretty great back in the day, right? And there was just nothing. Yeah. And it's that hunger that fueled the special editions and the prequel releases. And I was talking to my assistant, John, and he was like, yeah, just remember, Brian, that I fell into Star Wars through the prequels. The prequels are why I know Star Wars. And so I'll always have a very special part in my heart. And yeah, I'll recognize that, you know, this other series was better in many ways. But meanwhile, the idea of getting all of the exquisite production of the prequels combined with the storytelling of the original trilogy, I could not be giddier.
I know.
Years were 1990 through 1994, because I think 1995 was when Shadows of the Empire came out, and everyone was like, oh my gosh, there's Star Wars, and
it's a movie
it's
without
in
the
multiple
movie.
Dimensions, and it's in all these media and games.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man. It's one of those things. It's funny. Looking back on it, I'm just super excited that we do get that kind of best of both worlds here. And I can't wait till it's really in these final weeks. And I've been kind of surprised. I think it's been a little bit of a rumbling rollout in terms of the promotion of this film. But like this week is where the rubber really starts to hit the road. I mean, we got our full trailer, but now like the marketing material is coming fast and coming furious.
And they're aiming at people like my sister and my sister-in-law. Because here's where I'm frustrated. My sister-in-law came over today and I was like, hey, are you going to come with us to go see it? And she's like, no. Like hell no. You know, like, she was like, are you crazy? Kind of no. And I'm just like, wow. You know, it still blows me away that there are people out there that I know that just have no desire, almost a venomous opposite reaction to wanting to go see this movie. And I'm like, I guess that's what Trisha meant last week when she said that there are places out there that they just haven't accepted Star Wars and they're the ones that need convinced.
Yeah.
Cause I'm sitting here like, man, I don't want them to give me too much stuff now because I'm on that all Star Wars crack diet where I'm like, you throw it my way, I'm going to salivate and just chew it to the bone. Quit giving me stuff. I'm going to spoil myself. I'm trying to back away from the table. I can't. I got a taste.
You bring up a really good point, Mark, because think about it. It makes you realize how little they've been feeding us. All we've seen are a little bit of the aesthetic of the universe. We know that there's a planet called Jakku. We see a brief snippets of Leia and Han and Chewbacca. And that's pretty much it. All the story itself, I know virtually nothing about. And I can't remember the last time that was how I walked into a Star Wars movie.
Well, yeah, it's movie. Like we're piecing together what little scenes we when can. We watched, it's like, we know there's two planets, three at the most.
Well, I mean, when we watched Age of Ultron, we had a much better idea of what the film was going to be about than this one. So, I mean, I can't exactly. So, I mean, let's quit dancing around. Let's get straight.
That one's a previously established universe where things are going in a new direction. And while you could say there's similarities with that with Star Wars, this is the first time we're going into a canon alternate universe. Yeah. I mean, you know, everything that's coming this way, it's something new. And while they may be doing things similar, unlike with the Ultron movie, this is still new ground where they may borrow something like a Quinlan Vos character or a Jaina Solo or something like that. They're not going to take Jaina, but if they did, I'd be happy.
Well, by the way, I had an epiphany recently because when they I reacted fairly negatively when as part of the Disney merger acquisition, they offhandedly declared, by the way, nothing counts except for the original trilogy, the sequel or the prequels and Rebels and Clone Wars. That's all that's real. Everything else is fake. In that moment, I felt like my heart was being ripped out. Because that was all the expanded universe that I had fallen in love with, all of these authors from all throughout science fiction working together to create this kind of mega universe narrative. And they just threw it away. And I was really genuinely pissed. However, now I find myself on the other side of it where it's like, oh, now I'm experiencing the fruits of that, which was, yeah, it was tough to have that Band-Aid ripped off. But now I'm going into this movie genuinely not knowing anything about the universe, not knowing what powers are at play, and knowing that really, I mean, they say, oh, all of this is just lore, but I mean, who's, you know, they can do anything. I would not be surprised. I mean, I'd be surprised and thrilled if all of a sudden there's a blue skinned dude with glowing eyes and I'm like, oh my God, it's an Admiral Thrawn or whatever. Like they can do anything. And I haven't experienced that in my entire life on Star Wars.
I know it's a wide open field and you're right. We don't have too much of an idea of what the movie is going to be like. We've up to this last week. If you tuned into last week's episode, if you were watching the counter, we had maybe 3.5, maybe 4 minutes of footage of the film. That's changed this week, and let's talk about it right now.
Something to report.
Professor, I have good news.
Data brought to us by the Bothan spies.
We can send a clear transmission.
There it is. Listen.
Fresh off the press, ladies and gentlemen. Turns out they're marketing a Star Wars movie.
What?
And turns out they're releasing a lot of material about it. We're going to get to the international trailer in just a minute. And, of course, just this morning, the new TV spot that dropped on Twitter's official account. But before we get into that, I want to talk about these Force Awakens character posters. Okay. Mark.
You know, all six of these, they're glorious.
I know.
There's no Luke.
You kicked us off, Mark.
Okay, hey, this is dangerously... Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Riley. I have things to say, though.
all right, I'll say this. Yes, it makes for great memes when people post a picture of Chewbacca with a hairbrush in front of his right eye. That's the first thing.
I like the Porkins with the Subway sandwich.
Oh, God, I did not see that one. but these are very... very different than the posters released previously. And I like it because it's something of this era. And it's really kind of giving you the idea that yes, we're going for the classic trilogy vibe, But when it comes to the marketing machine at Disney, that doesn't mean that they are going to skip out on what works. And this is a very kind of Marvel-esque look at the characters. It's character one sheet posters. Nobody has right eyes except for Carrie Fisher, evidently, in this film. Brian, your thoughts?
First of all, the elephant in the room, as it has been for all of the posters, is why isn't Luke Skywalker in there? This is the part I get uncomfortable, because the reason I like audiobooks is because when I read regular books, my stupid betraying Judas eyes will leap forward trying to catch up. Oh, there's dialogue coming up soon. Let's pass this big block. Oh, I'm at the end of the chapter. Wonder what that means. And some part of my brain is piecing stuff together. I like audiobooks because I don't know when we're coming up to a chapter break, and I'm forced to hear every word the way the author intended. I don't like the fact that I'm presented with a puzzle of where's Luke Skywalker, because then I find myself thinking uncomfortable thoughts like, well, I don't know, here's a guy in a mask. He's supposed to be the bad guy, Kylo Ren. I don't know. Does Luke Skywalker turn to the dark side? Is it turning into a bad guy? It's like, these are all thoughts I don't want to be having when I want to watch the movie. I want to experience the movie the way they want to tell it. So I understand we are now in full Star Wars hype mode, but I'm trying real hard to stay pure on this one.
See, that one that you just threw out is one that someone else was telling me about. It was a theory that Luke is somehow affiliated with the Knights of Ren, and that while Kylo and Luke are wearing the same mask, and that we may have seen Luke. And I was like, oh, dude, yeah. There's so many ways you could do that. Like, you're like, oh, Luke's infiltrating. Because people have said the same thing about Finn. Oh, well, Finn's just infiltrating the stormtroopers. Well,
okay,
Luke, doing that?
We could go the opposite direction, right? Let's say that's all too obvious, and so it's not true. Now all of a sudden my brain's thinking, oh, that's too obvious. That's true. Okay, well then why would they do this? Oh, I get it. Both Han and Leia must get killed this episode, which is why they're blowing them up now. And meanwhile, Luke will continue to live as a Yoda-like figure in the background for the next three movies. Like, regardless of whether I'm right or whether I'm wrong, I don't want to be having these nattering thoughts in my head.
Yeah. Now, I could definitely see that, because it's that level of conversation that I'm surprised already hasn't been happening. But there's been a pretty, I'm actually pretty impressed by a pretty, at least, you know, in the Star Wars nerd version of the internet, in our little circles that we run in, Brian, it's been a pretty respectful divide between those who've hunted down all of the spoilers they can, and all, like, there are two or three websites that have, you know, seen leaked versions of scripts or leaked concept art, that sort of thing, that have kind of pieced together what they think the film is. And I was all in on spoilers, because I just kind of surprised, I said, hey, I host a Star Wars podcast. There's no way right. I can do that. But back in April, where we encountered each other at Celebration Anaheim, that was the moment I decided I'm not going to seek out anything that's not just officially released through the marketing material.
Wow, you had a
sort of like
an homage moment.
I know, which is weird, because so I know a lot of the early rumors, but that's the thing about early rumors, was that's still when the film's in production, and there's things that can always change. So I know a lot of the early rumors. I don't know. I'm very happy to say I have no idea what the answer to the Luke Skywalker question is. I mean, we all know that Mark Hamill was in the movie.
Right.
And we know, like, some places of where they were filming, but that's all we have. But you're right, Brian. You can't help but, like, start trying. Your brain is just like, well, maybe this. Well, maybe this.
Here's a nutty thing to consider, because you guys, Mark, how old were you when the hype machine for The Phantom Menace was in full swing?
Oh, I had just gotten out of high school about a year or two, three.
Okay. So I was in my mid-20s. I was working at Dell at the time. And it's funny, because as a culture, we had never experienced backlash to leak fever. And in fact, if you think even to the original trilogy, you went into Return of the Jedi knowing just about everything, because you already had some Ewoks and you read the back and you knew who Wicket was and you knew.
Well, they call that the Stover effect with episode 3. If you read the book first and went into it, you absolutely loved the movie.
Interesting. Well, so as a culture, all of us experienced the prequels with, you know, the force.net, you know, blowing out every spoiler, everybody talking freely, building the hype machine. And then we went in, and the backlash was largely like, oh, well, there was no questions. There was no surprises. There was no, you know, magic in it. And they were right. And so now it's, we've seen in the last 16, 17 years, this sea change where we are embracing the idea of asynchronous media consumption. This idea that some of us are only for the first time seeing the last episode of Breaking Bad, and that you know, it meant so much to you when you watched that last episode that you should respect someone else's path. And it, you know, I say the word, you know, Amish, you know, jokingly, but it's like, it almost is like kind of this Amish thing where it's like, yeah, no, we get it. You have technology, but you know, we're going to live life this way because we think that's what'll make us the happiest.
Yeah. And it is, there is a clear divide, respectfully so, in the Star Wars community. So if you want to hunt down all the spoilers, you know, you're going to Making Star Wars these days. But if you want to stick with, you know, Variety's interview with J.J. Abrams, where J.J. Abrams announces through official channels whatever this mysterious group of dark side followers are, the Knights of Ren, that we don't know what they are, but we know they exist. So there are like some brief moments of plot that they're intentionally letting out, but that's the key word there, is very intentionally.
It's like the buildup before Christmas. It's like, you know, you could go to your mom and dad's closet. There's a pretty good shot you're going to find something there. But once you've spoiled it for yourself, you've spoiled it for you.
Yeah.
And then there's going to be nothing there with the magic of Christmas when you get to the tree. You're like, what the heck? I know everything's coming. That's no fun. I still remember the moment where I was like, okay, I know that there are gifts on the other side of this door, but I'm going to turn around and walk away.
Well, there we go.
One thing I wanted to talk about before we move from this was I saw this great meme, and it had Rey, and it's all a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. And it's slowly zooming in on her weapon. It's all, they had Phillips screwdrivers.
Yeah, I did see that. And they left it on there too. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, you know, I've been speculating about that lightsaber hilt at the end ever since we were at the Force Awakens museum at Star Wars Celebration Anaheim. But I'm noticing other people are starting to pick up on that. And I know, you know, you and I have talked about it before, Riley. I'm in the camp. I hope it's going to turn out to be some kind of Force pike at the end where she's got a little tiny saber hilt that doesn't work very well herself.
I you know, she is a scavenger. You never know what you find in those old downed Star Destroyers.
Skywalkers are crafty.
I'm telling you, man. Yeah, it's a pretty exciting time. Oh, Brian, I'm still it's so weird seeing the posters with Rey's staff, you know, so clearly visible in high resolution.
Oh man,
after seeing it in person.
Yeah. That was fantastic. I didn't realize at the time that I was clearly violating the terms of going to the museum by periscoping the entire thing.
Oh.
But whoopsie.
What's funny is that, remember the Finn costume with the jacket and everything?
Yeah.
John Boyega's.
Yeah.
And then down in the concept art that they brought with that costume on display was the Luke Skywalker lightsaber.
Yeah, right.
Just hanging there. I was talking to a guy at Lucasfilm that night, and I was like, yeah, everybody's talking about this lightsaber. And he just kind of gave me a sideways look, and he's like, yeah, I don't know, you know. Yeah, some things
like somebody got fired.
I think the word he used was some things are pleasant, you know, can be pleasant surprises. At least for us fans.
That was how I was when I saw the X-Wing. I'm like, oh my god, that's BB in the back.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Before we wrap up on this, one thing I want to say, these character posters make me extraordinarily happy because it means that the team at Lucasfilm and Disney are continuing on their playbook all the way until then. They've sold us on the universe and the characters, not one bit on plot. And that is the way it should be, so that you keep the magic inside the box.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, let's talk about it. We just did a special reaction episode on Saturday, but we'll actually dig into it a little bit deeper here. It is the surprise drop. Imagine you're just kind of going about your typical Saturday morning, or if you're in Scott Johnson's case, you're like, oh, it's the Warcraft trailer day. Poor Warcraft, by the way. They set their date, then they move their date because Star Wars is set for May, and then Star Wars moves so they can move. It's and then they try to drop their nice, beautiful trailer, and then Star Wars ruins it again. It's just.
By the way, I'm so curious what the do you guys have any? And I know we're a Star Wars podcast, but do you have any hype on the Warcraft trailer?
It's interesting because as someone who is not an MMO gamer at all, I am really interested with something that, you know, a property that's been so successful. And that has engaged so many people. I thought, well, there's got to be something there. So I'm definitely excited to see that in cinematic form. But I got to say, the trailer didn't really sell me on much. And maybe it's sort of like they're doing a Star Wars, they're doing an JJ thing where I didn't really get much of a picture of what the central conflict should be that I care about, because they spoke entirely in kind of broad terms. And I don't have any sense for like what characters are key and who I should be connecting with. But, you know, the same was the case with the marketing of Game of Thrones. I hadn't read the books and I was like, well, is this really going to be good? Of course, it's Game of Thrones. So I'm definitely intrigued, but it didn't have me entirely sold.
There is not, here's what's noticeably absent from the Warcraft trailer. And then we'll move back to Star Wars. But Warcraft, there's not a single incarnation of Warcraft that some kind of postmodern wink, wink humor isn't a big part of it. There's always, you know, whether it's like when you click a peon too many times, he goes, "Stop poking me." A lot of the names are puns and all that stuff. There's zero of that humor in this trailer, which makes me feel like they're intentionally hiding it to bring it out later and make that more of a surprise.
Yeah, no, that'd be interesting to see. It's definitely a property that I'm intrigued by, but we'll find out. I guess next summer. I still feel kind of bad for him. But yes, so with the trailer no one expected. In fact, J.J. Abrams was on record 2 weeks ago saying that there would be no more trailers, like maybe some TV spots and stuff. And then the Japan trailer dropped, which has kind of been called the international trailer. Brian, if you don't mind playing along, I'll click play if you want to sync up and we'll.
All right, here we go. You count me in. I'm ready.
Now, have you actually seen this yet?
I have, and okay. I tweeted it out instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, right. So we're still talking the international one, not the one that dropped today on
That's
Twitter,
true.
Right?
We'll kind of. I think what we'll do is do some instant reactions here, and then we'll go straight into the Twitter one as well.
I also got some news from the chat that is some stuff I had not heard
before. I'm
kind of
nervous to click on it, honestly, Mark. But
it,
yeah.
It's okay. I've gone into it. It's little details about Maz Kanata. Kanata.
Yeah, Kanata.
And in fact, we do find out that she's the little alien between R2 and BB-8 on the poster. And she does have the castle, which, according to some of these pictures that we're seeing,
but that's straight
looks
from
like
Variety.
It's from one of the trailers.
Okay, so nothing too new. Okay. I
nothing
feel
too
relieved.
New. No, just a little tiny bit of detail.
Brian, having you on is actually kind of like, I'm nervous now. Like, what? You're right. I don't want to learn too much.
I tune out. I think about naked women, but it gets too spoilery.
All right, so I had to...
Lula's burlesque review. She's dying to dance for you.
All right. You tell me when to hit play on this.
All right, so we'll do it in a 3, in a 2, and in a 1. The preview is approved. There we go.
Yeah.
Who are you?
I'm no one.
Where do you come from? I know all about waiting. For my family.
I will fulfill our destiny. I will finish what you started.
I don't know your name.
Finn.
I'm right. There are stories about what happened.
The Force. It's true. All of it.
Is not lost today. It is found.
Japanese characters.
I'm sad that I watched this closely the second time. I'm sad that I'm on this podcast.
Oh, no.
Now I have more pieces of the puzzle than I'm trying to piece together.
I'm feeling kind of guilty about it now.
Well, I, nah. I can't unsee the fact that there's some kind of Chewbacca triggering some kind of detonator, and I'm like, is that a noble sacrifice moment? Yeah, what's going on?
Well, now we know that Maz is the one talking there, which makes me think about the dialogue differently.
Well, and I think it's a very the biggest reveal of the trailer is the voiceover by Haley Atwell. As they said in, as was just now said in the chat. No, that's definitely Daisy Ridley, but it does kind of sound like, Haley Atwell, just a little bit.
Oh, really?
To me anyway. But no, it's definitely a little bit different flavor, and a lot more dialogue. I liked what Trisha said on the show on Saturday is that it's really more of a visual PowerPoint. It shows you a lot more of the set pieces and a little bit more dialogue without really giving you much of the plot. And again, I like the fact that we're kind of seeing this kind of marketing, not too overboard. But yeah, Mark, what was your big takeaway?
You know, for me, it's that battle on the planet with the X-Wings, man. That's the one that just keeps jumping out to me. I piece more and more of that together each time. And you know, my perception of the fire planet, I begin to think that those are all the same battle, that battle is going to take place from the morning into the night or afternoon into night.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm kind of nervous about it now. Brian, what's your up or down? How are you feeling on the 30-second TV spot that was dropped on Twitter today?
I have not seen it at all, and I will so watch it.
Ah, yes. And tell me if you regret it permanently. But we can't unsee it now. It's in the show notes. This was released from the official Twitter account, which is kind of an interesting marketing thing. And that's a whole other thing about the way they're marketing this film, is the partnership with Instagram when they released the landscape mode. They debuted it with that little 10-second teaser for Star Wars that we saw. And of course, now with Twitter, they're debuting their first 30-second spot. And I'm gonna go ahead and sync it up with you, if that's okay, Brian. I'm gonna go ahead and hit play, load it up, get it to zeros, and then we'll do a three and a two and one.
I have lived long enough to see the same eyes in different people. I see your eyes. I know your eyes.
Star Wars, The Force Awakens.
Dude, have we seen that Millennium Falcon blasting through the trees?
No, we haven't.
That looked amazing.
And right before it, you watched Daisy punch the throttle forward. So you're like, ooh, I don't want to know who is on that other trailer now.
It's real hard for me to not cancel this call right now and run away with fingers in my ears.
All right, well, we're going to bring it home. We're gonna save Brian and preserve. Don't worry, I'm not about to debut like the special entire recap or anything. I feel like
good.
Your progressive nervousness is actually, I think, kind of entertaining in some aspects. But I will not torture you much further beyond just asking you your takeaway on the 30-second spot.
Dude, it's great. Again, a lot of focus on set pieces and character, virtually no plot, which is good, good, good. Again, that'll be the last time I watch either of those if I could possibly avoid them between now and the movie itself.
Well said, sir. And my big thing for this is seeing, the focus on Rey. I really like that and how, we have the mysterious voiceover. And I can't help but assume that it's in relation to her and that she is a central thrusting part of this film, which, I mean, I guess we could have all kind of guessed, but it's pleasant to see that in the marketing itself. And of course, it's sort of it goes back to the whole thing of where it's great to see a really fresh approach to Star Wars, because as much as they've, really harped on the original trilogy essence that this film's going to have, that's going to be infused throughout this film. It's definitely evolved in a lot of ways where we do have a female lead. And yeah, that's what we're seeing here. And that's, to me, that's really exciting. And it'll be interesting to see how it plays. If certain franchises are any sign, it's going to be very, very successful. And by the way, Brian, I feel like this is a good time to transition and just say congratulations on your win for the movie draft.
You're talking about the winter movie draft,
which is safe place from spoilers, and we're going there now.
Yeah, man. For those of you guys who don't know, we do a kind of a fantasy football style competition called the movie draft, where we do a summer league and a winter league. And this year we had to actually change the rules of the draft because for the first time we had a movie that people wanted to pay more than the maximum $100 for. And so we figured out that what we did is once we got up to $100, you could keep bidding, but you had to agree to take a reduced percentage of the total draft, the total box office. And I went all the way down to 75% of total box office revenues, beating everyone else's complete slate of, like, you know, 3 to 6 movies. So we'll see. I fingers crossed. We'll see.
I mean, if you take a look at the box office in the last couple of weeks, you're doing okay.
It's almost like the whole world has just sort of leaned back and said, you know what? There's only one movie I want to go see this whole winter.
I really think this weekend's Bond Spectre will tell us a lot about if it's truly just like the entire world holding their respective box office breath for the next Star Wars movie.
I want to win so hard and shove it in Justin's face.
I know. Well, I think I feel kind of happy because we made it through. I kind of feel like we're talking about, it's almost sort of like the spoiler version of Star Wars has become a little bit like talking politics. And so,
oh yeah, where all of a sudden it's like it's one of those subjects you don't broach.
You're like, I'm kind of nervous.
If it's a safe room before you start talking.
I mean, I know we're a show about politics, but we still know that we tick people off sometimes. Isn't it? Justin, I think, coined the term. I don't remember where I heard it, but I remember distinctly Justin saying that there are two things people really passionately fight about in life, and that's politics and Star Wars.
Agreed.
Oh, man. So we're going to bring it home right after this.
This is the Star Wars Report Podcast. Boring conversation, anyway.
Oh, man. Thanks, Joe. That's right. It is the Star Wars Report Podcast. Huge thanks to everybody tuning in live. And also to everyone supporting the show on Patreon. If you want to support the show like many others are, you can head over to patreon.com/StarWarsReport and get some awesome monthly bonus content that we're releasing. Things like, I don't know, maybe our instant reaction with Brian Brushwood after seeing the next Star Wars movie in theaters.
Oh my gosh! we need to. Would it be a violation? I guess if we turned off the audio, maybe we could periscope my reaction, my joyful face the entire time.
that would be amazing. However, our patrons aren't the only ones supporting us. This week, we have a brand new sponsor to StarWarsReport.com and the podcast here. It's Fan Mail. They're really cool. They're a subscription box for geeky women. Every month, they send you a box filled with amazing items from your favorite TV shows, movies, books, comics. That includes this month, Star Wars, and we'll get to that in just a second. But basically, every month they support at least one small business run by women, so when you subscribe to Fan Mail, you get to celebrate your inner fangirl and support other women who are out there doing awesome things. So this month, Fan Mail is doing a special Wars Among the Stars box, and basically what this is that celebrates Star Wars, Guardians of the Galaxy, Battlestar Galactica, Firefly, and many more. The box contains 3 fun and unique Star Wars items, and you can buy fan mail for yourself or for that geeky woman in your life. Use coupon code FALCON to get $2 off your first fan mail box at StarWarsReport.com/fanmail. That'll take you straight to their site. Or you could just go to myfanmail.com. That's spelled MyFanmail.com. Subscribe before November 15th. That's the deadline to get your Wars Among the Stars box. Well, actually, Brian, I think what we'll do to kind of close out the show is talk a little bit about the Great Austin Extravaganza. I'm going to use this time as sort of an on-air briefing so that listeners can know where to find us, and then Brian can know what the hell's happening.
Heck yeah.
So, me and my sister and Steve Glosson, the head honcho of the Gulliverse, the Geek Out Loud podcasts, are going to be packing up and making the road trip to Austin, Texas, in merely 5 weeks and some change. Let's take a look.
Was there a reason that Austin became the center of your radar for this?
Yes, there is. And actually, that's a good way, because I really had a hard time. There were opportunities in Atlanta, where the 501st and a lot of the fan clubs were going to be up at, Atlantic Station, up at Midtown. It's not Cinemark. What's the chain? It's a big theater chain. They have an RPX cinema with the Dolby Atmos surround sound. And okay, they're going to do like a big, big, midnight event. And, I thought about, I was going to like organize and be a part of it and like do a big MC and party and stuff. And it's sort of like, as I've been talking to my different Star Wars friends, Brian, it kind of got real in that it tells a lot about your soul. This is the next Star Wars movie. This is like something that that defined our childhoods, and we're reconnecting with it. And it became really important to me, under what circumstances and who I saw it with the first time. And I realized I could do like a big live show, Star Wars Report, podcast extravaganza, in downtown Atlanta. But I realized that really wouldn't feel like an authentic experience, as weird and as weirdly religious as that sounds.
Yeah.
It was tough. So, Teresa Delgado, who's been a longtime friend and supporter of us here, and she's the co-host on Fangirls Going Rogue. You guys just heard her a couple weeks ago on the podcast. She's been a longtime friend and supporter, as has Steve Glosson. And basically, my goal was between me and Teresa and my sister Bethany, we all convinced Steve, or like, Steve, we've all gone to the celebrations together. We've done all these fan events together. We got to make it a road trip and see it together. And Austin was just a nice central location, and I've always wanted to go to a draft house. Never been before.
Oh, and this is great. It'll be your first draft house.
I know. I'm so excited.
Okay, what's a draft house?
I'll tell you what. It's also special for other reasons. The last time that I waited for a Star Wars premiere was for The Phantom Menace, and at the time, I was in the line with an unknown writer who had a script for a Star Wars related movie by the name of Ernie Cline. And the two of us, you know, waited in line together the entire 6-hour extravaganza. Ernie Cline, of course, wrote Fanboys.
Yep, yep.
The troubled and yet ultimately published script that has its own entire story behind it.
Oh, believe me, like in the Star Wars fan community, like him, Kyle Newman, they're like legends who fought to get that movie released. It was a thing.
And get it released like in the right version too, right?
Yes.
I'll tell you what, I could not be more proud that the next time that I'm going to a premiere is with you guys.
I am super stoked. So we are going to Austin to the second showing. We will not be doing the 7 p.m. We are doing the 10:15? Yeah, 10:15 showing. We will be arriving probably a couple hours early, depends on when, and we'll be there live as everyone's getting into the lobby and doing some podcasting during the first showing. And that'll be Steve's show primarily for Geek Out Loud. And I know there have already been a bunch of folks emailing us, a bunch of you trying to get tickets, to meet us up. All I can say is this: if you have tickets for that evening, show up. It's a draft house at Lamar, and say hello. But it's kind of, otherwise, it's kind of informal. It's just going to be us as a bunch of friends hanging out with all the region's 501st, Rebel Legion. That's the place. Everyone's gathering, and we are super stoked to be there. So it's going to be insane. And I'm kind of sitting here incredulous that this is actually happening.
Remove the veil from around my eyes and lift the ignorance from me here. What exactly is a draft house? Because I'm kind of getting the feeling like it's a place you can sit down, eat, and drink, which has me worried you're going to watch Star Wars, which, as you even put it, is almost a religious experience, which I agree with you on this one. Why you would, if in that scenario, put yourself with people who could be getting really drunk and, for lack of a better term, pissing all over your experience?
Okay. So
Brian, I allow myself to be like the district judge. You are the defense of the draft house experience, because I know there's
yes,
few better qualified.
Your Honor, I am but a simple southern magician, and I'm just somebody, what do I know? I only went to the draft house for the past 17 years. Ever since college, I've gone. basically, the draft house has two tenants. They have good food and beer and an exquisite presentation. They made a bit of news a while ago because I noticed early on that going to the draft house, it's very expensive. It's stupidly expensive. The tickets are expensive. The food is expensive. But here's the thing. When everybody sitting in a seat is spending $45 to $65 to enjoy this movie, you notice that inherently everybody is very respectful and they shut the hell up, you know, and except for, you know, except for when it's appropriate to go absolutely nuts and they go completely nuts. You know, they've made news for themselves recently by, you know, they ejected from the theater Madonna at one point because she wouldn't put away her, her cell phone, and they have a no cell phone, no texting policy. They famously played a angry voicemail from somebody who was, you know, sounded like she was still a little three sheets to the wind after having been ejected from the theater from using her cell phone. It is the most exquisite place to see a movie that I've ever encountered. And every time I go to a theater that's not the Draft House, I always swear never again. I'm never going to see any movies anywhere but the Draft House again.
Oh, wow.
So I'm, this is going to be my debut. Am I going to have to drive to Austin every time I want to go see a movie now?
Oh, don't worry. Give it 20 minutes and there'll be a draft house in your backyard again.
I can't believe that they're everywhere. See, that's
good for him, but I'm in Oregon and draft new things do not come to Oregon. We're still waiting for an NFL team.
Well, don't feel too bad, Mark, because there's still no draft house in Atlanta, but it is a matter of time. I love that. I mean, the concept, they're now kind of draft house, take two, right? Can I pull that one? There are draft house knockoffs now everywhere, but we're going to the true blue one.
And to be honest, it's like, I don't mind whether it's got the draft house name on it or not, just as long as the spirit of, you know, you get assigned seats. You're not allowed entry into the theater after the feature starts, you know, so it's like, you know, sit down, be quiet, turn off your cell phone and don't show up late. It's like, we're all serious. We all love movies here and we don't want to screw up anyone's experience.
Yeah.
They got a little holographic Bruce Campbell on the outside. You can't go back in there.
Yeah. Yes.
Absolutely. So I think it's hard to believe, but as I sit here in my little home studio, looking at my Lego Ray Speeder, which is perched in front of a stuffed Jar Jar Binks, it speaks so much to my experience of fandom. And I sit here talking to amongst good friends about the next freaking Star Wars movie coming out in just over a month. I can't believe it, but that does put the wraps on this episode of the Star Wars Report podcast.
39 days!
That's right, Mark. 39 days is all we have to wait until our butts are in theater seats. And it's going to be a good time. Brian, thanks so much for coming on, man.
Dude, thank you so much for having me, man. I cannot wait. I'm super excited. You're going to love the Draft House, and hopefully both of us will love the new chapter of the Star Wars series.
Absolutely. I think that is going to be one thing that so many... There's a Lincoln reference somewhere in there, and then I decided very quickly to run away from that. But I will say this: I do think that if there's nothing else, we all have our hopes high that JJ is the great unifier. It's kind of already spoiled. But yes, indeed, that does put the wraps on this episode of the Star Wars Report. Tune in next week. We're getting ready for our 30-day countdown, which we will be doing a very special event here on the podcast. Stay tuned for that.
9 days!
I know, 39. All right, so if you want to follow us, you want to find us on Twitter, just cross 17,000 on the old Twitter, so you can join all those fine folks. It's at Star Wars Report. Of course, our Facebook page is just Star Wars Report. You can follow me. I'm at The Riley Guy on all the social medias. Mark is at Illogical Rogue 2. Brian Brushwood can be found on the internet. In all seriousness.
It's probably in your garage right now.
In fact. No, in all seriousness, Brian is the host of Scam School, and of course, one of my favorite podcasts and experiences every year at Dragon Con, Night Attack. Brian, what do you want to point folks to? If they're a big Star Wars fan, what do they want to find of Brian Brushwoods?
You know, it's probably best just to follow my Twitter feed. If you do the Twitter thing, I'm twitter.com/Schwood, S-H-W-O-O-D. I like to keep you hopefully chuckling.
There we go. Do it. It's at Schwood. And that's gonna put this episode in the can. So thanks so much for tuning in. We'll be back next week. Remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast. May the Force be with you.
My publicist promised me this was a Bothan cruelty-free podcast. I'm really sad I only just found that out.